This
is Mythical.
Welcome to Ear Biscuits, the podcast where two lifelong friends talk about life for a long time. I'm Rip.
And I'm Link. This week at the round table of dim lighting, we're doing one more shorty.
Shorty.
For you. Next week, we're back to normal length episodes of Ear Biscuits. But we're still breaking it. We're still doing our little break, so this is helping us.
We have an update on a situation. Mm-hmm. Me wetting myself.
Yeah, have you peed yourself anymore since it's been a number of weeks since you've done that?
I have not.
But let's not forget that you did it.
Well, let's not forget that you did it.
Well, we forgot that I did it.
Until now.
Mm. We both done it. And I remember when I did it, I talked about it on the show, and then we asked people to make me feel better about it by leaving voicemails. And we asked for a similar thing for you. So you're saying you haven't peed anymore.
I haven't. Well, I've peed plenty of times, just not in the bed.
Okay, good.
Let's get an update from someone.
Hey, Rick and Link, this is Elza. I just want to call in regarding last week's episode, or whenever you guys might end up playing this. Rhett, you are not alone regarding the peeing in the bed situation. this was about probably, I don't know, me and my girlfriend have been dating for about 2 years. This is towards the beginning of our relationship, too, and we, you know, I drink water. I drink a lot of water. You know, I try to stay hydrated. But I was sleeping in her bed, you know, sleeping with her, and I was laying down on my stomach, and I can't remember what my dream was either, but all I remember is while I was still sleeping, the warm sensation.
It's horrible.
And I was laying face down in it.
The worst.
I was able, it wasn't too bad, though. I was able to stop myself, but it was pretty soaked. So as soon as I felt that warm sensation, I immediately shot awake, and I didn't wake her up, and I was just kind of sat there and was like, well, what am I supposed to do? And I think I just literally ended up setting a towel on it, too, and laying back down after I got up and cleaned myself. Yeah. So, Rhett, you are not alone. I also have wet the bed at 21 years old. So, love you guys. I appreciate the show and everything you guys do.
Face down.
Face down.
Even worse.
That's not a way to do it.
I don't sleep face down. It's bad for your back.
Straight into the mattress. Just powering it right into the mattress. Deep, where it can never be removed. 21 years old, that's got to make you feel better.
Right, yeah. It's not that I'm getting old. It's just that it happens to the best of us.
It happens to the youngers of us.
I
wonder what he told his girlfriend.
Well, I saw someone who was who works at a hotel as a housekeeper. And they said, this is actually very common. We'd run into this all the time.
Oh, somebody's peed the bed.
Yeah.
Hey. And what do they do? They just, I hope that there's that last like layer that they put down before the mattress that is a barrier, especially in a hotel.
Oh, I think
that's got to be standard,
most
right?
Hotels now have a mattress protector or something at some point. So that's waterproof for this very reason. Because you never know.
If you just started dating somebody and you're sleeping over and then you're waking up peeing.
Well, when I told someone that I know, who will not be named specifically, about this, they started telling me about somebody that they knew, or they knew of in a college hookup situation, where this guy and girl hooked up, and then she was sleeping in his bed after a hookup, and she went to bed that night. And it definitely colors the
mattress. Yeah.
The mattress,
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it colors the situation.
It gives it an aged patina.
Like it didn't. They didn't. It did not become a regular hookup situation. It was a one time thing.
Ooh, that's tough.
And I think it was a combination of the like sexiness level of someone changes when they piss in the bed that you're in and you just hooked up with them, but also you feel self conscious and maybe you feel like, okay, maybe I don't pursue this thing anymore.
Let them off the hook. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But I guess you could also...
So our entire relationship is built on the fact that you peed my bed?
But I think maybe the man in that situation could feel somewhat proud of himself. Like, I gave it to you so good, you peed the bed later. Is that... I don't know how... I don't know if it physiologically...
I've never heard that in a rap song. And I think that's where that would have
happened.
I'm going
to F you so hard, you're going to wet the bed.
Later.
Later, not in the in right. The act. You're not going to squirt. No, no, no. You are just going to piss the bed while sleeping hours from now. Hey, a rapper can figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where the brag is.
Eminem could do it.
It's just loosening up the bladder chute. I don't know what you've done. What are you actually bragging about here?
I don't know.
You kind of limbered up.
I've heard rappers talk about screwing people so hard that they walk funny the next day.
Well, yeah.
So I think that accidentally peeing yourself could be part of that walking funny, like, constellation.
Okay.
You know?
You're walking funny and
peeing yourself.
Peeing uncontrollably. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you're just, like, really relaxed afterwards.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Calmed
you
down.
In bliss.
Calmed you down. So now here's.
And I'm not going to mention R. Kelly.
Well, you just did. And I'm not going to take the bait like he did. Okay, look, we're moving along again.
moving along again.
Here's what I haven't done. I have not peed the bed again. But what I have done is, I would say, 2 times out of a week, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I have to pee, I immediately get up and go pee. So it has put the fear of pee in me.
Yeah.
And so most of the time I don't wake up enough in the night to go up and pee, or I've woken up a couple of times and haven't felt like I needed to pee. But again, a couple of times I've woken up and I'm like, damn, I'm going to sleep better if I just go pee right now, first of all, but also I'm not going to piss myself. And so
That'll wear off after a year, and you won't think
about it. In the pre-pee days, I would have just gone back to sleep.
Maybe a couple of months. I think another month or two, you'll be over it. I got over it, and I haven't peed the bed since. And I still drink a lot of water. So maybe I'm flirting with disaster.
I'm drinking less water right before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. So I have a few...
It was an isolated incident.
A few pills that I take right before I go to bed. And typically it would be with a full glass of water, and now it's kind of like half glass of water.
Any other callers to make Rhett feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rhett and Link. I was calling in regards to the wedding the bed project. It does happen to the best of us. It happened to me. I was 24 at the time and had just gotten with my significant other. We had only been together for a couple months, and we were visiting her mother's house.
Oh, God.
And we were on, thank God, like one of those blow-up mattresses you put on the floor. Oh. I had never peed the bed since I was potty trained up to this point. I had never been a bedwetter. So it really was a shock to me when I like, dreamed that I was peeing. And woke up and was actually peeing.
That's the worst.
Her 3-year-old, who has since become our 13-year-old, was sleeping in between us.
Oh!
And what I did, because I didn't know what to do, I got up and I changed my pants.
And blamed it on him.
And then I went and I just swapped places with the kid who was in the middle of potty training and still wore pull-ups to bed. And then woke up my lady and blamed it on the kid and said her diaper must have leaked. And I have not told her the truth about that to this day. So you know, could have been worse, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Thanks. Love you guys.
Scandalous. Damn.
I would have done it too. I would have done it. If there's a kid to be blamed, I'm going
to
do it.
It's one thing to blame the kid. It's another thing to put the kid in your pee.
Yeah, that was rough.
Woo!
But that's the price you got to pay.
Hey, you go over here. I'll eventually treat you as my own child, but not yet. Tonight, I'm treating you like the scapegoat.
And does the kid know? The kid doesn't know.
If his lady, as he called her, doesn't know, I don't think the kid knows. Doesn't know. It's like, here, don't tell your mom this, but I framed you for...
I think you take that to your grave. Unless they also are a listener. But the thing is that even...
It's hard to do now that you've told the internet.
Well, the thing is that even your partner probably doesn't remember this in the way that they would remember it if they knew you pissed the bed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, oh, what are you talking about? The time that so-and-so went to bed when she was 3? I never think about that. Oh, that was you. Oh, I'm going to think about that a lot. See, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. Desperate times, man. Desperate times.
But so when does it come out? You know, he's getting more comfortable talking about it. He's left us a voicemail, knowing that the public is going to hear it.
I think this is the perfect thing you say at their graduation party or at their wedding reception.
Oh,
you tell the story.
It's pretty self-deprecating.
Or their funeral. Oh, that's bad though, because that means you can't die before you don't want that.
I just think that this. Confession draws a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
So I don't think you want to bring that into a ceremony, a special reception of any kind. You know?
Yeah. It's no one
to be viewed with derision.
No one's going
to
laugh.
No one's going to laugh. No one's going to look at you the rest of the night.
This guy.
Your wife is going to be in a fight with you. Not because of what you did and confessed to, but because of how you shared it with everybody. Mm-hmm. So don't do that.
And I think if you do tell the story ever publicly, don't say you switched places. Leave that detail for the audience to basically like ponder.
Yeah.
Just be like, I blamed it on the kid and the rest is history. And it's like, but when you say—
And look at us now.
You took the kid and put the kid in the pee puddle. And I don't necessarily know that that's exactly what you did. Because a 3-year-old's small, I think you can like position them off of the pee puddle.
That's below not how he made it sound.
But
he made it sound like, well, the kid's wearing pull-ups anyway, so the my pee won't go through the pull-up and touch skin. I don't know. It's kind of what it felt like.
I don't
want to
think about the details, honestly.
I don't think
about the details.
When he was telling the story about being on the blow-up mattress, it's funny, I started hearing pee hit a blow-up mattress.
Oh.
Because I know what that sounds like. It sounds like...
How do you know what that sounds like?
Well, have you ever hosed off a pool float? You know, you get some dust on your pool float.
With a weak stream?
With a weak stream. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I've actually done that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've hosed off a pool float with a weak stream. So I know what it sounds like.
I just throw the pool float in the pool and let the pool clean it.
Sometimes you need a little bit more power.
Okay.
You got to knock it off.
Any more?
Those were the best ones.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a different one.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. This is Jared from California, and I have a fun Would You Rather question for you guys. So would you rather know everything that someone has said about you that has been negative, but not know who said it, or know everyone who has said something negative about you, but not know what it was? Thanks. Love the show.
Everything that's been said, I mean, I'm sure everybody I know has said something that I would perceive as negative about me without me knowing. Sometimes they don't even intend it that way.
Yeah, I think this is an easy one.
Because then you're just knowing all of these people that you care about, that you think care about you, that would never say anything negative about you, and then all of a sudden they all have this like light bulb over their head? I don't know how you know, by the way. Do they glow in a certain way? I just think everybody would be glowing.
I think you get faxed a list.
Because everybody...
By a genie.
I mean, everybody says something negative about somebody, even people you love sometimes, right? I mean,
and I sometimes think you would probably
it's
know.
Accurate. It's called unspoken constructive criticism. You know, that turns into gossip.
There's no way that everyone that you know well hasn't said something negative, and so that would be no surprise. And there,
right.
You might be able to guess at the people who would never say anything negative about you, but you, again, this is something you probably already know. The other scenario in which you know every single specific thing that was said.
That's going to be
but
tough.
But you don't know who said it. I think you're going to be able to use the specifics of what was said to then guess who it was and probably be right.
But wouldn't it be easier to go up to everybody who has said something negative about you and say, what'd you say? What'd you say about me? Like, oh, what easy. Do you mean? What did I say about you? Yeah, you said something negative about me. I know it.
Because I was given a...
Just tell me what it is.
I was given a proposition.
I was given a would you rather. Oh, you were?
And this is what I chose, and that's how the universe works.
So what did you say about me?
That is actually a really interesting scenario to think about. If someone had came up to you and said that, I know you said something bad about me. I don't know what it was. Well, how do you know that I said something bad about you? Because I was giving a would you rather, and I chose this scenario, and it actually happened.
What, did you rub a bottle with a genie?
I feel like the conversation would quickly move from what the negative thing was to metaphysically, how did this happen?
Right. Yeah. I think there's bigger fish to fry.
Hold on a second. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what I said about you, negative.
Mm-hmm.
Just to move past that. This could actually be a way to manipulate people to get them to tell you things that they've said, because then once they tell you the negative thing, be like, I'm just kidding. It can't happen.
But then you just be in a situation, as we've established earlier, you're going up to everybody you know and saying, what'd you say about me? So you might as well just do that anyway, even if you didn't have special knowledge. Just make that a habit. That's a good way to move about life. What'd you say about me?
Yeah, that's good.
Because, I mean, you'll have some success. Somebody will be like, well, I said so-and-so. Knowing everything negative.
That's a problem.
It's going to be hard to take, but you can navigate it in a way that helps you.
This is really,
right?
I thought this was easy, and then I started thinking about it. This is why this is a good would you rather, because if you know, okay, virtually everybody has said something negative about me, then it's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to hold it against them because I don't know what it was, and I don't know to what degree it was. But if all of a sudden the specifics of what someone is saying about you, the specifics are what hurt.
And that's going to be a long list.
That's what really, really gets at your at your soul. Yeah. You're going to be like, who said it? Now you're going to be obsessed with knowing who said it. And even if you do know who said it.
You might not be obsessed with that because if
both of those are bad.
You could just be obsessed with making yourself better. But then that becomes... You can please everybody all the time.
No. That's not how you. No. You don't better yourself because of the negative things that one person says about you. That's not.
Well, if you have a lot of people who are like, he uses the word, he says you know too much. But it's a wake up call. You know.
You know.
Yeah, I know. You know. So I think there could be some good in this, but it would be mostly harmful.
This is another interesting tangential question based on what you just said. Do you not think that if you just stopped and thought about yourself, like I feel like if I thought about myself and I thought about the negative things that people might say about me, I think I could put that list together. It wouldn't be 100% accurate, but I think I have a tendency to do this. I could see how people would take that the wrong way. I can see how people would, this would annoy people, or I feel like I could put that list together for myself. And so is that versus like, oh, It is true. If you think that people might think this about me, that's probably all the information that you need to then know, oh, I'm going to be proactive about that. I do, even though specifically the you know and the like thing, my mom said, the funny thing, the way my mom talks to me about how I know about things is she will start the question with like, do your employees, and then she asks a question. Because I think that she thinks that like, he's got all these people, these young people in California who work for him, so he must have some sort of like insight into how they all think.
Oh.
Like seeing them all as a monolith.
Okay.
And so, like, are they all saying like, and you know, when they talk? And I said, well, Mom, I'm doing that too. And I'm not proud of it. I listen to this podcast from time to time, usually in short clips that show up on my For You page.
For You.
And I annoy myself at the way that I talk and the number of times that I say like and you know, and I try to be conscious of it. But I already know that about myself. It's not a knowledge problem. It is a...
Well, there's... Yeah.
It's a willingness to actually make a change problem.
But there's some blind spots. There'd be some things you'd learn, but there'd be so many more things that would be hurtful. Whereas I think I'm now choosing to know everyone who says something negative about me, because then you quickly learn the lesson, oh, everybody says something negative about me. And that may hurt a little bit, but then you start to realize that it's just... It's a part of life.
I'm choosing that one as well because...
And we didn't think we were.
I'm choosing it because I think that the knowledge of the other thing is too damaging and not as constructive. And the other one, to me, is just a wash.
Yeah. If you had a list of everything that people think is wrong or bad about you,
I feel like I do have
absolutely overwhelming.
But I feel like I do have that list. I have the internet.
Oh, you mean because of what we do, we have online comments?
I know everything negative that someone could think about me.
We do know a lot of that.
As I have presented myself on the internet, which is pretty much...
But it's happened over time. It wasn't like you were emailed one list or, as you said, faxed a list of all these things. That's going to be a lot to unbury yourself from beneath. It's happened to us very gradually.
Yeah, of course. I was talking to this is what Mike was talking about this the other night. We were talking about
not reading comments.
Yeah, yeah, and then Mike started talking about the kinds of comments that he leaves on YouTube videos, and he like read one to us, and it was this incredibly thoughtful, encouraging, connecting, heartfelt thing. And it was like, wow, that's...
Would make somebody feel really good.
If more people took the time for that kind of feedback...
Yeah, put the energy into the world that you want to come back at you. That's an easy way to give a gift, is just to go online. If you watch something you enjoy, leave a thoughtful, specific, positive comment.
And also,
it will most likely get read.
And if somebody is somebody is the kind of person that gives that kind of constructive edification when they have something to say that's critical, you're much more likely to listen to them, just interpersonally. I mean, I don't know how you would.
But now we'll just know, dang, my friends that I love the most, that love me the most, that know me the most, they all said something negative about me? Oh, gosh. What now? I'm having to ask them, what'd you say about me? What'd you say about me?
There are people like that. The whole of what'd you say about me? I stay away from that. Like, I just know that people say a bunch of negative stuff about me. There's not a bone in my body that wants to confront somebody about what the negative thing they said about me.
No, that doesn't seem appealing to me either.
I know people like that, though.
More of a fighter. Some people are fighters.
Revenge-oriented people. Who are just like, you cross them.
Yeah.
You bring people up and they're like, well, and the first thing they say is the thing that that person did to them. The bad thing that that person did to them. Or it's like, well, I don't talk to that person, or let me tell you about, and I don't know. Just that part of my brain doesn't function in a way, it may be even to my detriment sometimes. I forget.
Yeah. I'm
that
way too.
That people have been bad to
me. Yeah. It's freeing to not hold grudges.
Right.
But to completely forget puts you in a danger zone too that I think we're both in. It's like you see somebody years later and you're like, oh yeah, I used to know you, and I don't remember why I don't anymore.
Right, but I think I'm not supposed to like you anymore. Because the people in my life who are good at that.
Right, and some people deserve it.
Oh, 100%.
To be cut out.
I'm not saying that these people.
That's the kind of list we need facts to.
There's not many people in this town that I don't want to run into. I think that's a testament of hopefully the way that we go about our lives. But
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of times when Jesse and I are in a, you're in a weird place. You're in another country eating dinner. Okay. And we'll play the game of who is the last person that you would want to walk into this restaurant right now?
That's a game for y'all?
Like, literally, who would be the worst person to walk into this? Because it changes based on the circumstances of where you're at. And it's just a fun conversation, because then the next question is, and what would we do? Because if you're in another country and you run into this person, the expectation running into an old friend or a former friend or just somebody from a different part of your life is that
you hang out
a little, right?
Oh, yeah.
So then you've got to be like, nah, I'm good. And I'm always going to be the person who's going to be like, sure, like, what can it hurt to have you sit down at our table? Even though I'm not even that guy, I'm just, because I don't hold grudges,
yeah,
I'd be the one to do that. And Jesse would be like, look, and Jesse is super sweet. She's like, she's not a grudge holder either, but she knows where to put the boundaries up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Chris would be kicking me under the table.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, actually, you know what? I've got a leg problem, and I got to go take care of that right now. So that's why we're not hanging out. It has nothing to do with you.
Another fun game to play, which we also play, is who is the best person who could walk in right now? Like,
really?
It's an
interesting game.
Like, if they were to walk into this restaurant in Portugal right now, if you had to pick, who would it be? And then what would we do? What would we say? How would it change things? Would it change our plans? It's a fun game to play. You should play that game with your wife.
Yeah, I'm going to play that game, I guess.
Who's the worst person and who's the best person?
Worst person to be here right now.
Here right now.
As long as you don't say that it's them.
Well, honey, it's you.
Yeah.
No, it can't be either of you.
You want to take one more?
Let's take a quickie.
Let's take a quickie.
Take a quickie.
Hi, Rhett and Link. I am calling from Colorado, and I have a little bit of a moral question. A very close friend of mine and her husband recently got into an argument about a pretty sensitive topic, and some feelings were hurt. The next day, they were texting each other, and my friend used ChatGPT to help generate an apology message to send her husband. She said she agrees with everything that it stated, and that she's just not very good with words, and so she thought the apology would sound nicer coming from AI. Now, I asked her if she would tell her husband, and she said no, she doesn't want him to know that it came from ChatGPT because it would hurt his feelings even worse, knowing that she didn't write it herself. So I guess my question is, where do we draw the line when it comes to using AI for these types of things? Yeah, my name is Chelsea. I love you guys. Please say it back. Bye.
I love you, Chelsea.
My name is Chelsea.
Sorry, I just got what you did.
Like, all right. So where, this is interesting, right?
I don't because think there's an issue.
You don't think there's an issue?
Oh.
Kind of. I mean,
well, I sympathize because to write something, I don't know. It's just really hard for me. I don't know. To like string together, to go from what I'm going to say, you know, I'm just like, I like to start talking and just to see what happens. And if it's if I'm trying to give an apology from the heart, I might think about some things and then I'm going to say it. But it's hard for it's hard for me, and that may be true for a segment of people that like it's just to transfer thoughts to writing that then is artful or effective. I don't know. It's just it doesn't come the easiest to me. So I'm tempted, especially if you agree with it. I feel like the balance here, or there's a bit of an analogy with cards, right? Because like you've talked about, like our parents will send us cards, our moms will send us cards, and it's not that they write a whole lot, but that they'll underline the things.
Emphasis.
So, okay, she really read what somebody else wrote, and she made it her own by underlining it. This feels similar to me.
But that's... You know that that's what's happening.
But you do know.
To me, that's the real issue, is that you're now not telling him that this is how you generated this. And so I think there's a level of deception that...
I don't think it's deception.
If you don't tell him it is.
I mean, if people give speeches all the time that they didn't write alone. I mean...
This is a personal apology for something that happened the day before. I just think,
but if you talk to a friend and you ask them, hey, help me write this. Now, if the friend wrote it and then just gave it to you, you'd be like, wow, this is great. This is exactly what I feel. Would that be different? My friend wrote this apology. It still feels the
I think there's a bigger issue here. But it's something I've been thinking about as it relates to this. Because I do, you know, my wife is anti- AI. I know a lot of our fans are anti-AI, like across the board. Like, I'm not going to use it. It uses all this energy. We're feeding all this information into this machine, and there's a bunch of valid points there. I tend to just think that there is a certain inevitability to it, and I want to understand it and utilize it in a way that enhances creativity and communication, yes. But I'm still like exploring that. But the thing that I am beginning to see in myself, but also in other people, is a tendency to farm out critical thinking to it in a way that none of us can really do math anymore, right? We just can't really do math because we have calculators. So some people have a couple of quick tips, you know, for like calculating a tip. And some of those things are easy, but, and I think that's kind of okay because we do have this thing, but when we begin to farm out the critical thinking and the sort of the processing that goes into formulating an apology, do we lose what we would otherwise have, which is taking the time to do something that is difficult for you, if that's difficult for you. Taking the time to process. I was talking to a person the other day who recently ended a long-term relationship, and the person on the other end of the relationship who was, you know, essentially the person who was dumped, has asked this person to, in an effort to gain some closure, to write a letter, just sort of, because it was a long relationship, like several years.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted them to write a letter. It kind of just, can you tell me why? Can you help me understand more about why our relationship ended? Because apparently during the breakup, the communication wasn't that extensive.
That's a good request.
And so I was talking to him, who this request has been made of him. And he was like, yeah, she asked about this. And it's been, I actually am not communicating with her right now, and I'm processing this. And so what I told him is, I said, well,
use ChatGPT.
I said, I think you should do it. And I think you should
write the letter. Not
I think you
chat.
Should write the letter. I think you should keep a couple of things in mind. Number one, you need to be careful in what you communicate, because this does not seem, this can't be interpreted as a bid for a reconnection if that's not what you want. And sometimes bearing your soul in that way can like rekindle this thing, and then, you know, it won't help with the process. But I think even if you don't give her this letter, you should write it, because you need to go through the process of processing why you ended this long-term relationship. Because, you know, I know why he did it ultimately, and I think it was the right thing, but I think that he really needs the time to process and organize his thoughts in the way that you do when you do when you're doing therapy. And so I think that writing an apology and taking the time, because it does take time, even if then after you write it, because maybe it's just like, I don't like prose and I don't like having to like come up with words and make it sound elegant. That's a different thing. I think processing the bullet points, this, let me think about that. This, taking those bullet points and then putting it into, I mean, that happens on the iPhone now, where if you're taking a note, you can like click on summarize with this in mind, like make it technical, make it friendly, make it more professional. You can do that on Google with email.
Yeah, it's more wordsmithing.
And so I think wordsmithing is a different thing, because that, and I think that's an inevitability, but I think the moment that you get rid of because the processing involves time. So I think there just needs to be like a time when you sit with it.
This is golden.
Because we're getting to a place where I was talking to another person, and he was trying to figure out how what to do about a situation with a girl. And he entered all of the facts of the situation into ChatGPT, and ChatGPT gave him advice of like how to interpret what she was doing. And I was like, hold on, couldn't you have done that? And what did your brain not get and not gain by you farming this processing out to ChatGPT?
Like, that's a good question. You know, and I think when it comes to apology, like, say that, but what did your heart get out of it? There's a difference between agreeing with something and expressing yourself. Because to express yourself requires work and process that then changes who you are. When you come to conclusions versus if you're being told something, it's like, okay, yeah, I needed to hear that. I agree with that. I would not be surprised if it goes into a different part of your brain and into a different part of your experience than if you're sitting there wrestling with, what did I do wrong? What am I actually sorry about? Why am I sorry about it? And I don't know how to type it yet, but I am now feeling it. I'm experiencing it. I'm integrating the experience of these mistakes that I made into who I am. And then I'm communicating that to somebody.
And it's more meaningful to the person who receives it. A handwritten note is more meaningful than something you type.
Apology is. Okay. But
it takes time.
But on the base level, all of that, all the time, like that. It communicates care that you're taking time and that you're putting in the work. But on a deeper level, it's actually like an apology is something that if it doesn't come from the heart and from an experience of regret and sadness, if you haven't processed it to actually feel regret, then you're just sorry. You're almost sorry that you did something that you have to apologize for.
You're using the apology as a utility to get past something. Like, okay, I'll say I'm sorry if that's what you want. It's kind of like using ChatGPT for an apology in my mind. And I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but that is why it's fraught to use it for that type of communication.
You're missing out on being as sorry as you can be. Like experiencing sorrow and regret. is something that then can be expressed. And if you skip to just expressing it, and then it's just words on a page, whether you write them or not, it matters less who wrote it and more of, and it doesn't, and it matters more of, not that you agree with what's being said, but that you're expressing something true from your own experience.
And it is true that writing something does put it in a different part of your brain. It does. Taking the time to write it.
It has to
literally come up with the ideas and put them into words.
Yeah. And it is work.
Is beneficial for your brain, but it's also beneficial for... That's why they say if you're taking notes in a class, you should literally, physically write on something.
Mm-hmm.
At least you should type it, but...
Right, because it's not, it's going from your
versus like I'm just gonna, I'm just gonna like
to your brain.
I'm just gonna like let my, I'm gonna let ChatGPT listen to my professor and create a summary that I'll look at later. That's a, it's not going in your brain in the same way. It's not as effective. Like you're, it's, you know, there everything. You gotta take the time to process it, and when you just are like, if you're reading a book and you stop and you're like, I want to remember that. Well, saying I want to remember that is just like when you wake up and you've had a crazy dream and you're like, I'm going to remember that. No, you hell, no, the hell you're not.
And you know you will, but you won't.
You're like, no, but this one I'm going to remember. No, you're not. If you do not write it down, you will not remember it.
Wow. I really think, I'm glad we did one more. Because
yeah.
That was, I mean, I just got to say, that was something.
That was something.
That's making me think differently. All right. And we'll talk at you next week. And we'll be talking to you for longer.
Yeah, a regular one.
But for now, I hope that you're getting some R&R as well, because you deserve it.
Mm.
Hi, Rhett and Link. I've been watching you guys for over a decade, so in a way, you're kind of like my family. Anyway, I'm in my junior year of college now, and I've been thinking about the future and how I'll be devastated when you guys die. So it would be really awesome if you guys could plan that out, just so I could give myself adequate time to like prepare. You know, I'm not... a big fan of being caught off guard. Thanks in advance.